Florida's use tax on visitors could be on the way out. The Air Force places UAVs in space. And the ash may be dispersed today. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 20th, 2010. The Florida State Senate's Ways and Means Committee is scheduled to meet today, and yesterday, the Florida Aviation Trades Association asked its members in the state to email or phone in a request to get the committee to pass to the Senate floor a bill that would stop the madness over taxing on transient aircraft with no connection to Florida. Senate Bill 220 would exempt any transient aircraft spending 21 days or less in a calendar year from ensnarement in Florida's use tax, which has seen pilots who did nothing but come to Florida for maintenance or training arrive home to find five-figure tax bills. The bill has cost the state's FBOs, maintenance, and training providers because it scares away aircraft owners from out of state. That's why FATA got involved. If you're in Florida and hearing this early enough in the morning to still get off an email or phone call to Senator J.D. Alexander, get the details on how to do that in the text version of this story, dated April 19th, at aero-news.net. Air Force officials are scheduled to launch the U.S.'s newest and most advanced unmanned reentry spacecraft tomorrow at Cape Canaveral Air Station in Florida. The X-37B OTV, or Orbital Test Vehicle, will provide a flexible space test platform to conduct various experiments and allow satellite sensors, subsystems, components, and associated technology to be efficiently transported to and from the space environment. The X-37B will also prove new technology and components before they're committed to operational satellites. The OTV is the first vehicle since NASA's shuttle with the ability to return experiments to Earth for further inspection and analysis. This is an Air Force project, so the specific time of the launch has not been released. The X-37B is designed to be able to stay on orbit for up to 270 days at a time. Regulators in Europe are starting to get intense pressure from airlines, who say the blanket ban on all flying over 13 countries is an overreaction to that volcanic ash cloud that's been spewing forth in Iceland. A few airlines have gone so far as to perform test flights so they could return and show reporters the undamaged engines. The industry has run up more than $1.5 billion in losses since Thursday due to canceled flights. A number of dignitaries, including U.S. President Barack Obama, canceled attendance at the weekend state funeral of Polish President Lech Kaczynski and his wife Maria for fears of the dangers of the ash cloud to their aircraft. With stranded vacationers getting angrier by the day and many small children getting very bored with life in an airport, it's thought we might see a break today for long-haul flights from some countries. Flights out of Europe may be required to stay below 26,000 feet. I'm guessing most of the stranded won't care about a little extra turbulence. Up next on ANN, stimulus funds are used to buy new machines for DHS. EADS NA will fund its own development helicopters to show the U.S. Army. And the new version of ACE adds capabilities. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 20th. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano has announced the purchase of more than 1,200 explosives trace detection units using $35.5 million in stimulus funding. She says the move will stimulate local economies and increase airport security. Quote, "These state-of-the-art technologies will strengthen and streamline screening operations while making air travel more convenient for passengers. Explosives trace detection technology, enhanced inline baggage screening systems, and improved surveillance capabilities are important elements of our layered aviation security strategy to protect the flying public from terrorism," unquote. Another $30.4 million in stimulus funds announced last week will be used to expand an inline baggage screening system at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. EADS North America says it and its industry team of American Eurocopter and Lockheed Martin will independently fund and develop three AAS-72X helicopters to demonstrate the aircraft's performance, capabilities, and maturity for the U.S. Army's Armed Aerial Scout mission. The first AAS-72X will fly late this year. EADS North America CEO Sean O'Keefe says, quote, "It is part of a low-risk approach that combines mature, developed technologies with the proven UH-72A Lakota light utility helicopter, which is in widespread service with the U.S. Army," unquote. Production of the AAS-72X would take place at an American Eurocopter facility in Columbus, Mississippi. Conklin and Dedecker has released its latest version of ACE, or the Aircraft Cost Evaluator, and the 2010 edition holds new features and an expanded database covering more than 490 aircraft types. The benchmarking tool assists owners, operators, brokers, and dealers with side-by-side operating cost and performance comparisons. ACE helps users downsizing or taking advantage of the market with a larger aircraft purchase or trade. The 2010 Aircraft Cost Evaluator release has added aircraft including the new Cessna Citation CJ-4, Embraer Legacy 650, and the Gulfstream G-250. It also includes preliminary data for the new Dornier SeaStar and the PT-6A converted King Air C-90 and B-200 turboprops by Black Hawk. The Diamond DA-42NG with the new Austro diesel engines is also included in the updated release. New helicopter data covers the Sikorsky S-76D. Targeted for update in this release were the fixed costs: hangar, labor, weather services, nav services, pilot salaries, training, and insurance. Get more details in the text version of this story, dated April 19th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, Next Dimension Aircraft debuts the Warp 9 SR-22. Technam has a new distributor on the U.S. West Coast, and a real spacebound robot is named R2. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 20th. I'm Paul Plank. Another packaged upgrade for the Cirrus SR-22 has been announced by Next Dimension Aircraft, based in Greensboro, North Carolina. Called Warp 9, the package equips a qualifying pre-owned SR-22 with a Tornado Alley turbo power plant based on a new turbo-normalized gamma-spec IO-550N and Avidyne Integra Release 9 avionics. Next Dimension Aircraft President Scott Crenshaw explains, quote, "We recognize a niche that exists for customers that want a safe, warranty-backed, high-performance aircraft, but don't want to bear the costs of a new plane, nor be forced to deal with a large loss in value generally associated with a new aircraft purchase," unquote. The system promises efficient cruise speeds at over 200 knots. Get details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Technam North America has entered into an exclusive distribution agreement with West Coast Sport Aircraft Incorporated to provide sales and service support in California. The agreement expands support for existing owners of Technam's light sport aircraft and for the new P-2006T light twin. West Coast Sport Aircraft is located in the San Francisco Bay Area, offers authorized Rotax service, and claims a growing network of sales and service centers throughout California and Washington State. Aaron Hay, Director of Sales, explains, quote, "The goal is that a Technam aircraft owner will never be more than a two-hour flight from a service center on the West Coast," unquote. Technam, based in Italy, has more than 2,500 aircraft flying worldwide. King Schools and Redbird Flight Simulations have announced what they call a revolutionary home aviation simulator. King Schools co-chairman John King notes, quote, "Unlike other desktop models, the TD desk mount places the yoke and controls under the table, achieving the feel of a real cockpit while you practice instrument procedures to any airport in the world, or maybe pre-fly that upcoming cross-country, unquote. Co-chairman Martha King adds, quote, with airplane manufacturers restricting the use of circuit breakers to simulate system failure in the air, a good simulator has become essential in preparing to deal with emergencies, unquote. The simulator can be had in either steam or glass, and MSRP is $6,995. And finally, for the second time in as many days, there's news of NASA partnering with a U.S. automaker. First, it was Chrysler to bring technology developed for space applications to cars on the highway. Now, NASA says it's been working with General Motors to develop a man-shaped robot using technology GM developed for assembling cars. The robots who work the assembly lines look nothing like a human, but CNN reports the one developed for NASA has a torso, two arms, and two hands that can hold an object just like a human. R2, which NASA says stands for Robonaut 2, is intended to be an astronaut's helper, so GM's years of practice building robots which can work safely among humans also came in handy. The first mission for R2 will come in September, when it travels to the International Space Station aboard the Shuttle Discovery to assist in microgravity experiments. General Motors robots with earlier seniority dates than R2's have been idled by the shutdown of Pontiac. The September 16th flight of Discovery that carries R2 into orbit will be the last before the shuttle fleet is also shut down. Man, can't a robot catch a break these days? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the Experimental Aircraft Association's Tom Poberesny updates Jim Campbell on the search for a new EAA president. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.